All right. Well, we're back with part two of this week's Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I hope you listened to part one of the podcast, which featured an interview with Ankeny Centennial Boys Golf Coach Andrew Reedy. In a little while, I'll be talking with Ankeny Coach Mike Wettingfeld. But right now, my next guest is someone who has made frequent appearances on the podcast. He's a realtor at Caldwell Banker, and for some reason, he's not out at the Caldwell Banker golf outing today, but I appreciate him stopping by. He is Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
It's always good to be here.
Hey, you bet. Well, you didn't want to play golf today? Were you just trying to stay out of the heat?
Trying to stay out of the heat and trying to get out of town. We're going on a vacation, so.
Oh, okay. Well, where are you going?
Just going up to Clear Lake to spend some time out of town.
Well, it's a good time to be out there, I guess, in the heat. So, well, before we talk a little real estate, there's a couple other things I wanted to ask you about. I don't know if you watched the Sound Off show on WHO on Sunday nights, but a while back, somebody submitted a lookalike for you. Did you happen to see it or hear about it?
You noticed that, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny because I had a friend of mine last fall say that he had submitted one. And it never showed up. And then all of a sudden, this one popped up out of nowhere. I still don't know who submitted that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sitting there all of a sudden, wow. So I reached out to my other friend. He said, no, that wasn't the one. So
you don't know, who submitted,
I'm not
huh?
sure who did that.
Huh. Well, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the lookalike for Tom was Michael Moore. And I'm not talking about the famous movie director. It's the Michael Moore, who is a former U.S. attorney in Atlanta. And he's been getting a lot of FaceTime on CNN these days with all the recent indictments of Trump in Georgia. And if anybody knows what he looks like, well, he is a good lookalike for you, Tom. Wouldn't you agree?
It's kind of hard for me to say, but I don't remember. Did they vote that up or down?
I thought they approved it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely think it was a good one. But anyway, I also wanted to chat a little baseball with you. I know you're a Cubs fan. I actually had a chance to go to Wrigley on Friday with some friends to see them play the Royals. We had a good time over there. Have you been to any games this year?
I haven't been to any Chicago games. I've been down to the iCubs, but yeah, it's been fun. I wish they could play the Tigers and the Royals more, but
yeah,
it's good to be this far into the year and that they're still in the hunt, so that's a good thing.
For sure. Well, one of the highlights of our trip was the breakfast that we had at a place called Batter and Berries right there in Wrigleyville. Have you ever been there?
I haven't. I've been to Wrigleyville, but I haven't been to that one.
Well, this place is known for their French toast, and it was outstanding.
Oh,
my neighbor Ray has been there before, and he also knew that you could bring in your own alcohol, so we brought in some champagne to make some mimosas. So, yeah, I would highly recommend that place.
Well,
so.
That would make the game better, right?
it did that day. So, well, even the Cubs lost that day. They came back and won the next couple, and they're right in the thick of the playoff race. You know, do you think they got a chance to make the playoffs?
I do. I think there's still a lot of ball to play, and they're playing strong right now. If they can just keep it up, I think they've got a great chance.
Well, I think I've told you before that I'm a Twins fan, and I'm starting to get excited about them because they're currently up by six in their division. So it looks like, you know, they'll be hosting the wild card series. I've got a buddy who lives up there about 3 miles from Target Field, and he's got a big house with five bedrooms. So I already told him to get ready for, you know, a carload of guys coming up there in October.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it always is a good time. So, well, let's talk a little bit real estate. So what's new in your world these days?
Oh, wow. What an interesting time to be in real estate with the interest rates kind of all over the place, prices still up, inventory still down. It fluctuates a little bit, but we continue to have about half the market in new construction, and it's a really interesting time. If you're a seller, you would think a low inventory market would be a great seller's market, and generally it is. But in this market, because of the interest rates and everything, you can't overprice your house or it won't sell. Even though there aren't a lot of houses out there, it's still going to sit and it's not going to sell. So the buyers still have the qualification issues to deal with. So that's kind of tempered the feeding frenzy on the buying side as far as the low inventory that you would expect to see.
Well, yeah, I just read last week that the mortgage rates surged to their highest level in 21 years. That was up to 7.09%, and I don't know where they are today, but
they're off of that a little bit, but they're still high. Expectations are that the Fed can still do some more rate hikes. There's just a lot of uncertainty about the inverted rate curve and the possibility of recession and all that. So I think the word of the day is just caution. There are a lot of people that are just very cautious to make a move right now. There was a couple of months ago, I think people were more optimistic that they were going to see rates in the low fives, maybe even dip into the fours next spring. And now I think there's some doubt about that. And so people are just kind of pulling back, just sort of assessing their entire financial picture to see what's going to be in their best interest. And I think that's why, even though we've got this low inventory market, it's not on fire. It's it feels more like a balanced market as far as days on the market and not having multiple offers and those kinds of things.
So do you see a lot of people then holding off, hoping that maybe eventually they will go down?
Yeah, I've got probably a couple of dozen people that I know of personally that are just kind of waiting to see what's going to go on. Because if they were to sell now, what they'd be able to get out of their home versus what they would have to spend to downsize, the interest rates and everything, they're just waiting.
Well, do you have any developments you want to talk about today?
Well, actually, I am not repping any developments anymore. I am focused on buyer business, and right now, more than ever, it is important for buyers to get with somebody that can really walk through the process with them. A lot of the trades have switched who they're working with and all of that. There's such a struggle to get labor that you can't be guaranteed because there's a brand of a builder that, oh yeah, they're good. The workers have switched around, everything's changed around, and it's important to get somebody in your corner that knows the players, knows the business, and can really know the questions to ask of a builder if you're looking to build.
Well, I'm sure you're always interested in taking on new clients. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, my email address is just my name. That's the easiest thing, Tom, at tombutler.com.
All right, Tom. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in again today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, well, my final guest today is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny Boys golf team. He has guided the Hawks to 5 state meet appearances in his 18 seasons at the school. He is Mike Weddingfeld. Mike, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you bet. Well, your team has had 2 meets, and you've already had to deal with the elements at the Jesse Peck Invitational a week ago. Your team had to battle the rain off and on all day. And then yesterday in your triangular meet at Beaver Creek, you had to put up with the extreme heat that is going to be a factor, you know, all this week. You know, it's always something in the fall, isn't it?
It is, exactly. Everybody knows it's Iowa, right? So stick around and give it 5 minutes and everything will change. So yeah, at the Jesse Peck, it was cold and windy and felt like middle of October. And then yesterday it was really, really hot.
Yeah, and you're just telling me that you even canceled practice today, didn't you?
Yeah, the school kind of recommended. I know the cross-country football, those things were able to go early this morning. That didn't really work out for the golf course. And then tomorrow being the first day of school, it's kind of tough to do a before school thing out at the golf course and the kids driving. So we'll see what happens tomorrow, but we're not practicing today and kids can probably kind of use a rest anyway after yesterday.
Well, let's talk about your two meets thus far at the Centennial Tournament on August 14th at Briarwood. Your team shot a 314 and placed second, finishing 7 shots behind Dallas Center Grimes. I know you felt like that wasn't your team's best performance, but considering the conditions and with it being the first meet of the year, you know, you thought it was a pretty good starting point for the team, didn't you?
I did. You know, obviously I know the kids, and the kids know that they can shoot better than what we did that day. But again, every day is different. You got to factor in the weather. My kids are seasoned. They played in a lot of tournaments, but like I've always said, it's just a different experience when you play for your school. You've got other guys counting on you. It's not just you out there by yourself, and maybe somebody will see the paper, you know, how you did, but it's just a different feel. And so I know there was some nerves even though the guys had played before. So, you know, to get a second place finish out of the gate and for Drew to win it, you know, he's 2 for 2 now after the last 2 meets, winning both of those. So that's a great start for him and being a good leader. So, you know, golf is golf and it changes. So you don't shoot your best every day. So, you know, we kind of take the scores we can shoot and know we can improve. But like I told them and I told the guys after that very first day, we're not going to win a state tournament on their first tournament of the year. So
right,
learn from it.
Well, you mentioned Drew. Drew Henson carded a 73 in that meet to earn the medalist honors, and we'll talk more about him here in a minute. But Kyler Crimmins made his varsity debut for you on that day, and he posted your second best score with a 79. Now, you had 5 returning varsity regulars coming into the season, so Kyler thus far has been the only new face in the lineup, but it looks like he's fitting in pretty well, isn't he?
Yeah. Truthfully, there was a Gunner Breeding played a little bit better than him in tryouts, but then he kind of got the demons in the golf and is having some trouble hitting the ball right now and just didn't feel comfortable playing. And him and I talked, and he was great about, you know, saying, hey, I just don't feel like I'm ready to play, so I think somebody else would do better. And Kyler was kind of right there. Briarwood is his home course, so I kind of hoped and assumed that he would play a little bit better over there. Varsity debut for him on his home course, give it a shot, you know, and I got lucky and he shot a 79 for us and made me look like I knew what I was doing.
There you go. Well, this is the first time that your team has played in the Jesse Peck Invitational, and for those of you who are listening who don't know, you of course coached Jesse back in the day at Ankeny before he moved across town to Centennial when it opened in 2013, and then he helped the Jaguars to a state title in their first season as a program. And I know that there was a little ceremony there before the meet began. I think maybe you had a chance to speak to the crowd a little bit. You know, is that kind of an emotional thing for you?
It is. You know, it's been a long time since I'd coached Jesse, and I didn't say anything. His past coach, John Olson, kind of said a few words, but, you know, I had Jesse on the team for 3 years. I had his older brother, Connor, when I was assistant coach, mm-hmm. and head coach as well, so I've known the family forever. So when that kind of all went down, it was a huge shock, and I still see him all the time, you know. Their other son that I didn't coach,
Drake.
Uh-huh. Drake was there, and you know, so I'd see them at the meets, and I've always stayed in contact with them. So it's really cool that they are able to do that and celebrate his life and kind of bring back those memories, which are awesome.
Well, that was a nice thing that Coach Fee did when he was at Centennial to get that tournament named after Jesse. I mean, that's certainly a nice honor.
Yeah, it was, and I know he had a big part in that, and that's a cool thing to always have him remembered.
Well, then yesterday you guys played in the Triangular at Beaver Creek, and you shot a 301. You easily defeated Urbandale, which carded a 369, and you finished just three strokes behind the defending state champions from Johnston. You told me afterwards that you were happy with that score. You guys obviously showed that you could compete with Johnston, and if you can compete with them, you can probably compete with anybody, can't you?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You know, I don't know how Johnston felt with their overall score, but again, I felt like it was kind of a neutral golf course. Neither one of us, I assume, had played there a whole lot. I know my guys hadn't. They went over and played a practice round a couple days prior, but hadn't seen that course a whole lot. So, you know, right around 300, I think we're capable of getting more consistently below 300, truthfully. But to be right around that 300 mark is kind of your goal. You know, you get four guys shooting 75 or better, and that shows that we can compete with anybody, I hope. So gave us a little bit of confidence, even though we didn't get the W on them. But, you know, hopefully we'll just keep improving from there and lowering those scores each day.
Well, I know some of the teams in your conference, you know, play at multiple courses. So who was actually the host then yesterday? Was it Urbandale that was hosting it?
It was Urbandale. Okay. And I'm assuming, I don't know if they play all of their meets there now. When we used to play some Urbandale meets and so forth, we were at Urbandale Golf and Country Club, mm-hmm. but that's only a 9-hole golf course. So I'm assuming that played into it now that we play all 18-hole meets. Probably a little more difficult to play 18 holes with three teams, all those players out there on a 9-hole golf course. So
right.
I don't know if that played a difference into why they moved or what, but Urbandale was the host course there.
Oh, okay. Well, Drew did earn a medalist honors again for the second straight meet. He carded a 200 par 70 to tie for first with Andrew Johansson of Johnston, but he won the meet on a card off. One of his five birdies came on the par 4 number 7 hole, which is considered the toughest hole over there. You know, Drew's just off to a great start, isn't he?
He is, and you know, he had a great winter. He went down to Florida and kind of concentrated on a golf program down there, and he really wants to play college golf and go to that next level. So he really puts in the time and works hard, and it's paying off for him, obviously. I know he can go even lower. Like I said, the conditions are out there. It's different. Golf changes every day. If you watch any of it on TV, you know, the pros don't go out and shoot their best scores every day. So he's a really level-headed kid. He doesn't get too high or too low. Obviously, he can make birdies. He made five the other day, but, you know, sometimes you hit one bad shot or end up in the trees and you make a couple bogeys, and that's the difference. But, you know, two under par is a great round. I don't care where you're at. So,
well, of course, Drew had such a good season last year, and I know he felt like he had a good chance to qualify for state as an individual, even if, you know, if your team didn't qualify, but he came up just short, and I'm sure he's been motivated, you know, by that ever since, hasn't he?
Yeah, we kind of talked last year. I thought maybe he maybe got a little too aggressive last year with his game and just wanted to really go low, and that's one thing that we've talked about is not thinking about your score before you go out on the golf course. You got to take it a shot at a time, a hole at a time, whatever, and it sounds cliche, but if you start thinking about what you're going to shoot at the end of the round, then bad things happen, or you start, you know, you're not concentrating on the moment, and golf is a lot of in the moment. What can I do with this shot? I got to make this putt. I can't worry about the next hole or the next shot until I complete this one. So we're really focusing on that mental side, and I know Drew is too, and being a senior, I think he's come a long way with that mental part of his game and what he learned down in Florida and at the golf school and so forth. And some of those other guys I got coming back, you know, they're juniors, and they sound seasoned, but they really only have one season of golf under their belt. Mm-hmm. So they're still learning as well. So we're still relatively young with those three juniors or four juniors this right now. So, you know, just a couple seniors playing for me right now that have really been around for a while and hopefully can show the other guys what to do mentally.
Well, one of those juniors, Duncan Bilner, shot 75 yesterday, and his round included 15 pars, including a par on every hole on the front nine. He just had the one bad hole, a triple bogey 8 on the number 12 hole. So what happened to him there, do you know?
Yeah, I just happened to run into him just as he teed off, and it's a really tight par 5. There's a pond on the right, and there's out of bounds all the way down the left, and he just hooked it a little bit and went out of bounds. So then he makes triple there. I think he maybe had a bad chip or missed a short putt or something too to do that. And that happens. You know, he was one under, I think, up to that point. And then I think he bogeyed the very last hole of the day. Mm-hmm. So you're going along and it sounds boring, like, oh, 15 pars, you know, but I take 18 pars from all my guys every round, every day. So.
Oh, sure. Well, then Jacob Adams and Evan Hodapp each fired a 78. And, of course, Evan was an individual state qualifier last year, so I'm sure you're expecting some big things from him this year. You know, but with four scores in the 70s, if you can do that every time out, you're going to be pretty competitive in every meet, aren't you?
Yep, exactly. And that's our goal. It's always been our goal. And like I said, kind of that 475s is good, and then you hope somebody can break that. Because, you know, you're going to have some guys, you know, shoot 76, 78, 79, whatever. But if you can keep four scores in the 70s, I think we'll be competitive with most any team around. So that's always our goal going out. And like I said, every course is different. We shoot really well at home. The first day of tryouts, we actually broke last year's meet record that we set early in the season against Centennial and was it Southeast Polk maybe or something?
Urbandale
yeah. Or somebody. And we did that the first day. And I think it's good that we know that we can shoot that. But I also think the guys thought, well, I got to shoot that every day now. And, you know, Otter's our home course. I expect to play a little bit better at home than you do on the road when you're not as familiar. So, again, that mentality of just take the golf course as it is, the weather as it is. Sometimes you got to be happy with a little higher scores and know that you still played well.
Well, about the only hiccup that you guys have had thus far has been your son, Caden, who had to withdraw from the PEC Invitational with an injured wrist. He then tried to play yesterday, and you said that he got off to an okay start, but that he just didn't have, you know, any power in his swing right now, and he ended up struggling to an 89. So it sounds like you're going to give him some time off now?
Yeah. It was both of our faults. He didn't really injure it in the last meet on a certain shot. He's been battling it for a while, and I hadn't heard of it until I started Googling for my son to figure out what's going on here, and they actually call it golfer's wrist.
Oh, wow.
And it's the inside tendon of your wrist, and it's just from overuse. It's kind of like tennis elbow, but it's from golf. And you know, I got to give Caden credit. He loves to golf, so he'll play 18 holes, and then he'll go chip and putt, and then he hits balls. And it's hard to get him to sit down and keep the club out of his hand, and I think that's where we're at. When he withdrew from the last round, we said, okay, we're not going to do anything. Well, that lasted for about 2 days, and then as soon as he thought it was feeling better, he was out chipping and putting, and then that led to hitting a few balls, and then he played, and he really wanted to go. And of course, being dad and coach, I really wanted him to play too. And hindsight, I wish I would have made him sit out another day and maybe play Thursday or next Monday and not have rushed it, because now we might have set him back a little bit, unfortunately. But yeah, he's not scheduled to play Thursday at Southeast Polk. So,
well, I guess the good thing, though, is I know you're confident you have some other guys that can step up.
Yeah, like I said, Kyler's been playing well. Nick Meyer is a senior. He doesn't have a lot of varsity experience, but yesterday at Beaver, he shot 77 as a JVer and would have counted as a varsity score for us and helped us shoot 300. So he's got some ability. And Charlie Christensen's a senior. He's right in there. He shot 82 the other day. So I've got some guys that are competing, and that's always good to have too. I think if everybody thinks their spot is set in stone, then you don't have to work as hard to improve. So I'd like to have that competition.
Well, you guys will head to Copper Creek on Thursday for another conference triangular meet. This one will be against Ankeny Centennial and Southeast Polk. Your team finished three shots ahead of Centennial at the PEC Invitational, and I know last year you had a couple of close outcomes against the Rams. You lost to them by three strokes in a dual meet at Otter, and then you later finished two shots behind them in the Southeast Polk invite at Copper. So it should be a competitive meet, don't you think?
Yeah, it really should. I'm not very good at keeping up with who graduates and from year to year from other teams. I just try to focus on ours, so I don't know who they have back from last year, but they've done a good job over there, and they've had some really competitive teams, so I don't expect that to change at all. And knowing Centennial, they're going to be there again, and they're probably looking to get back at us a little bit for beating them the other day by three. So yeah, we look for a good meet, and we're going to start a little earlier at 8 a.m., so hopefully we can get out there when it's still cooler and before it gets too terribly hot and have a good day.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be 102 degrees on Wednesday, and then it's going to cool off to 100 on Thursday. So you guys might have to bring some jackets, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not a golfer, so I would struggle to play in any conditions. But, you know, does the heat pose any kind of obstacle for your guys other than just trying to stay hydrated? I mean, I suppose if you're sweating a lot, can it affect, like, your grip on the club or anything?
Exactly right. I know guys yesterday were drenched from head to toe. And so, you know, your towel gets drenched, and it's just so humid. I mean, nothing's dry. So you wipe your grips off, but then before you can get a grip on the club, then your hands are wet. So it's almost kind of like playing in the rain. You just never feel like you have a good solid dry grip on the golf club. And of course, when you got sweat running down your back and running down your eyes and everything else, and trying to stand over a putt, and the big thing was is just trying to keep the kids hydrated, keep water in them, you know. And so it does create a challenge. I mean, I think the kids got worn out. We started out pretty good, and by the end, you know, you start making some mistakes and you just get tired. And it's early in the season, and they haven't walked a lot of 18-hole tournaments probably, and then you add on the heat on top of that. And so, yeah, it does make a big difference.
Well, I know you've had to play in a variety of conditions over the years, but I doubt if you've ever had to play in a meet with triple-digit temperatures.
No, I have not ever had. You know, we've had high wind, we've had extreme cold, we've had wind and cold, but I can't remember any time playing when it's 100 degrees.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's when I stay home in the air conditioning.
Well, I know your team has some high goals for this season. You told me for the preview story that your goals are the same as they are every year. You want to be competitive every time you play. You want to win the conference. You want to make it to state, and of course the overall goal is to win a state championship. From what you've seen thus far, I mean, you got to feel like, you know, those goals are very attainable.
I do, and I no matter what team you have, I think every year you have to have high goals. With it being this year again at our home course, we have an advantage. I think that, you know, we don't have to travel and try to find a weekend to go play the state tournament course a couple times, so that saves us some weekends that we can really focus on the district site. From what I saw on the website, the district sites are set, but they don't have which schools are going where. Briarwood is one that's hosting. Fort Dodge Country Club is one that's hosting. And then the other two are part of the state that we've never been sent to. So I'm pretty positive it's going to be Briarwood or Fort Dodge. Next Monday we play Fort Dodge Country Club, so that will give us a look at that. We've played Briarwood. So truthfully, you know, I think us and Centennial has a big benefit in that we've got both potential golf courses across the street from each other. So when you don't have to work as hard to find weekends and time to travel and you know, spend a whole day on a Saturday or Sunday to play those courses and play those practice rounds, that really helps. So, you know, good as year as any to really buckle down, and we've got the experience and home course advantage in a sense, and courses that we're going to play throughout the year. So we just got to take care of business.
Sure. Well, I know the state association, you know, they try to split up the best teams as best they can, but they also try to do it geographically. I mean, with you guys and Centennial being here in town, I mean, wouldn't it make sense to have both you guys play at Briarwood?
It would, but it's happened before where Briarwood hosted a district and we went to Fort Dodge. I don't know, even though Centennial is north, we always seem to go to Fort Dodge. I've played more district tournaments in Fort Dodge than I think anywhere. And so I just really feel like that's where we're going to go. If they keep us both in town, that would be awesome too. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes. I never try to second guess, but I know they do try to split it up. If Centennial and us are really close, and I don't know if Ames is good, you know, and you've got the Des Moines schools and so forth, that they're probably not going to send the Des Moines schools to Fort Dodge because that's where all the Sioux City schools come over. So it usually seems like that's where we go. And
sure.
And they wouldn't send Centennial there because they're hosting on their home course. So it's probably going to be us, I'm guessing.
Well, if you guys are fortunate enough to make it to state, you know, how much of an advantage do you think that will be? I mean, over the course of 2 days, how many strokes do you think that could be worth to your squad just because you guys are so familiar with the course?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it comes down to strokes. Otter is one of those golf courses that a lot of people seem to play well on it. You know, Johnson's going to be over there. I know the Waukee schools have already scheduled a couple triangulars out at Otter, at least one I know of, just to play it as a kind of a practice round while they're getting their things in. But things that you don't think of, like we don't have to travel. We don't have to spend the night in a hotel, that we can sleep in our own beds. We don't have to get up as early. We know the course. We know, you know, the staff. You just feel comfortable at home. So I couldn't give you a number that it helps, but it sure makes life a lot easier, and the kids get a good night's rest, and they drive their own car out, you know, and hit balls on the range. They hit balls at all year, and it's just a calming effect, I think, than if you go to some place where you're unfamiliar with and sleep in a different bed.
Well, it seems like things are set up well for both you guys and Centennial to have a great year. I know I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. Well, hey, good luck the rest of the way, and thanks for coming in today, Mike.
Yep, thanks for having me again.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had boys golf coaches Andrew Reedy of Centennial and Mike Weddingfeld of Ankeny, along with Coldwell Banker realtor Tom Butler. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.